Ask McLean anything. John, I got one thing from the press conference yesterday. B.O.B. is on the hot seat. Agree or disagree?
He's got 4 years left on his contract. What he's on the hot seat about is the third general manager better be one that he has a good working relationship that lasts, or it could end up costing him his job.
Yeah, the 4 years on his contract doesn't mean as much as it used to, right? Now that, I mean, Brian Gain had four seasons left on his deal, and he was like, oh, I feel like even if Bill O'Brien may have been at the bottom of all of this, he's got to still look at that and say, wow, Cal's not messing around. Cal will pull the trigger on something.
He's also got to know, I've been through two general managers now. The third one, we better get it right.
Yeah.
And that's something that's very important to him, or he could be gone too.
Well, I don't know if you felt this way, John, being there yesterday in the room. Bill did not seem like a guy to me. I could be naive. Bill didn't seem like a guy who was unbelievably confident in his own job security.
He mentioned several times about Cal's expectations for him. And I know Cal McNair, like Bob did, they like Bill. They think he's done a good job with Deshaun Watson. They think they've got good players. They need more players to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But I don't see him being fired after this season unless they go 4-12. But if there's problems behind the scenes and he's involved, it could cost him his job.
You know what, John? Tell me if this is crazy or not. I look at this situation right now where I see Bill O'Brien kept his job. Brian Gain got fired. Brian Gain by contract had control over personnel, correct?
But yeah.
But in reality, hasn't Bill O'Brien basically been the GM then this last 18 months? Because if he can get the personnel guy fired, then he's actually in charge.
Well, Brian had final say in his contract, and he did not make O'Brien take players he didn't want. Most teams don't do that because the coach has control over the game day roster, and if he doesn't like somebody, he doesn't have to play him. So every decision made in free agency in the draft, O'Brien signed off on or either recommended.
John, did we just throw out the baby with the bathwater? I'm not the biggest Brian Gain fan, but something doesn't feel right about this, especially since the guy you dumped him for is not in-house yet.
No, they didn't dump him for that. They would have dumped him anyway. Because they know there's a good chance they're not going to get Nick Caserio with the Patriots step up and make him an offer he can't refuse like they did Josh McDaniels. He's the guy they want. And after they fired Gain, they filed that formal request Friday night. And then they had Ray Farmer in Saturday. They had Martin Mayhew in Sunday. And then they waiting to hear from the Patriots. So it wasn't an all or nothing thing. They're not stupid to where they would do it and have one guy that they were interested in. They got a list of other people if they don't get Caserio.
John, I was taking a nap on Friday. Woke up to all these text messages, 3 missed Landry Locker phone calls. What's the weirdest situation you've been in during a major breaking sports news story?
1987, the Oilers are in Buffalo. I'm asleep in my hotel, and I get a call from our photographer, Howard Castleberry, who said Lad Herzing, who was the general manager, just got led away into the police in handcuffs with a police car and curled up in the backseat floorboard like in a fetal position, and I got pictures. And I'm like, holy smoke. And Lad Herzing had gotten in fight with the wedding reception because they'd made too much noise at the Hyatt. And then the bride and groom, who were drunker than skunks, told reporters that he mooned them. and now all those rooms backed up to the foyer. And as people were say later, how could you tell it was his butt mooning you, making so much noise?
Ooh.
But the next day in the press box at Buffalo, they set up a thing for Herzing to come talk to the media, and all the microphones were on a table. Lad came in, sat on a little sofa. I was in front of him on the other side of the mics, and everybody's waiting for me to ask a question. So I said, Lad, I started laughing. I said, did you moon that wedding reception? And he started crying. I said, I haven't mooned anybody since high school.
Hey, speaking of mooning, that's something you don't hear about a lot more anymore.
Yeah, not,
between social media and the cell phone camera, I think that's kind of killed mooning.
That's mooning kind of style.
Because you can get caught mooning so easily. It used to be way common.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be...
way more common,
It
yeah.
used to be, like, not that big a deal if a carload of men or women mooned somebody on a weekend and you saw it. But now nobody wants their asses out there on social media.
They caught don't.
Weird situations, but I was asleep then in 1983. The Oilers started to something, and the head coach Ed Biles came up to the front of the media room, and we always had a lunch. So I'm in the back of the room having a cheeseburger or something. And he said, "Man, I've decided to resign." I jumped up. I said, "Wait a minute, Ed." And I grabbed my tape recorder and I ran around the side, went up to the head table, turned it on in front of him, said, "Can you repeat that, please? Man, I've decided to resign."
That's awesome.
So I got caught with a cheeseburger in my mouth.
Those were the days.
Somebody asked a question that I'm pretty sure will be the first time this question has been asked, and it's actually, I'm intrigued by this. I'll just ask this. I'll read it from the texter. Could it have been Andre Johnson that got Gane fired? Andre Johnson is the special advisor to the general manager. I feel bad for Andre. Andre's put in this kind of weird role where he's supposed to help out Brian Gane and Bill O'Brien, and all of a sudden he's 1 month into the job and Brian Gane is gone.
Oh, that's a great one.
Is Andre next? We're going to have a press conference.
Well, I'm
he
guessing.
He did say at the Texas Sports Hall of Fame induction he wanted to be the general manager or the president.
I'm guessing that Andre probably feels they were too conservative this offseason.
I would guess, yeah. No,
I would definitely guess that.
The thing about Andre is I don't think Andre, because Andre's not, it's not like he's not a confrontational guy, but Andre's not a scared guy of anything. So,
well, because he's Andre Johnson.
I know. But even just his whole persona, he's just so damn stable.
Yes.
I could see in that role, because a lot of times, I think some people looked at that designation and thought, like, okay, whatever, that's just a ceremonial name or something. I could see Andre giving some actually really good advice to those guys, just giving them the straight shoot of what he feels.
In all the mystery of this, the one thing I can say unequivocally is Andre Johnson was not involved in the decision.
All right. What if Andre came in 1 month into it?
It was me.
Stood into Cal's office. I was like, "Listen, Cal, this is what you got to do. Fire that SOB."
It's Ask McClain Anything, 713-572-4610. John, let's bottom line this from a texter. What are the odds the Texans get Nick Caserio? Give us a percentage right now.
Well, I'm going to say that I'd say 60-40 because I was told yesterday by a guy in New England he definitely wants to come, but that doesn't mean they can't find a way to keep him.
That's interesting that someone told you that he definitely wants to come.
If he wants to interview, it tells me he wants the job. He's tight with O'Brien. He's tight with Jack Easterby. He knows his team inside out from playing them every season. He's involved in coaching. He's involved in personnel, so he knows the Texans and people. A lot of people up there think it's him time to break out. He had talked San Francisco. I think it was Miami. Others, he's turned down chances to interview, and they've always kept him by offering him more money. And he does. He has an interesting role. He goes into coaches' meetings and listens. He's got headphones on during the game, listening to what's going on the field. So he's involved in a lot more than just the procurement of players. And so maybe he wants to break out. And he believes, because he knows O'Brien so well, and Jack Easterby, they both know him so well, that if he's going to do it, he's got a quarterback in place, team coming off 11-5 record, that this would be a good spot.
John, is there anything you've heard about Nick Caserio that makes you feel like, okay, he could actually fly the coop and be okay compared to a lot of other New England people? Because I believe that he does all these great things for New England. That's why he's been there that many times. But we just know that it's always different when you take that next step up.
John Robinson went to Tampa after New England before he came to Tennessee. Bob Quinn went straight to Detroit. He hadn't done anything. Jason Light went to Tampa. His job's on the line. And there have been others. But Caserio was in the business world after graduating from John Carroll, where he played quarterback. He was some kind of financial analyst. Josh McDaniels had got on there as a gopher, and they were looking for another entry-level assistant, and McDaniels suggested Caserio. Belichick interviewed him, and he worked his way up through the organization. One of the things I was told, because Belichick respects him so much. Remember, Belichick on the first days of free agency is out on his boat fishing and taking pictures and posting them. And Caserio is running free agency. Now, they may try to say, hey, he does all this. But, of course, Belichick signs off on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't have any idea what he makes, but whatever he's making, they already says multi-million a year. Joe Douglas got $3 million a year to go to the Jets for 6 years. I think that'd be chicken feed what it's going to cost to get Caserio.
Yeah, I mean, you're swimming in the deep end of the pool here.
We need to get our search firm together.
Absolutely.
This is where we could be banking 10% or whatever. How much does the search firm get paid, John?
I don't know if it's a percentage or how they do that, but I'll say this about you never know when somebody flies a coop how it's going to happen. But the fact that O'Brien knows him so well, and so does Jack Easterby, and they may try to say they tampered because Easterby was seen talking to Caserio at their ring ceremony. Well, they're good friends. They would talk. And I would think that the league would have to have a lot more than that to prove that they actually tampered.